Hello, welcome to another episode of Davey B's Hit Song Vault. My name is John David Birdall, and today we're going to be taking you to Detroit, Michigan, to Motor City, right? USA, right, Dan?
The Motown sound.
Yes, 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 that's what we're going to be talking about today, right? Motown.
Motown.
Yes, Motown Records. And we're going to be talking about artists such as Mary Wells, right, Dan?
Right.
Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder. Yeah, and many more artists. And so before we get into it, I ought to mention that Davey B's Hit Song Vault is a 30-minute comedic and encyclopedic conversation about the music of our lives with Davey B and his son John David. During each episode of the podcast, these two hosts will discuss and will play excerpts of 10 audio tracks within a specific theme or within a specific subject for your listening pleasure and total edification. Together, Davey B and John David do have a combined 70 years of songwriting and song performance and recording and music production experience between them. And thank you very, very much to Flatland Guitar, Schmidt Music, Orange Records, Eckroth Music Fargo, Drummer's Journey, Eventide Senior Living Communities, Guitar Center, and Prairie Public. So there you have it. There's the thank yous. Thank you to everyone, you know, who helps make this happen. So, Dad, you had said Motown sound.
Motown sound, John.
Motown sound, yes. Right?
Right.
And so, yeah, it began in Detroit, and then I do believe there were riots, right? Detroit riots in like 1967. So right. They chose to move out to Los Angeles.
Get you know, this,
for
John.
Headquarters. Oh, okay, yeah.
Get this. Mm-hmm. Motown achieved 79 records. In the top 10
wow.
of Billboard's Hot 100 listings. Isn't that something?
That's incredible. What, from like 1960 to like 1970 or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
That's amazing. So shall we get to the first artist that you had picked?
Let's do it.
Okay. And they're called the Supremes.
Oh, supreme choice.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. That's great. Okay. And they had a hit. A big, big, big hit with the song, right? Or the recording of the song, Stop, In the Name of Love.
Yes, they did. It held the number one position on the Billboard Pop Singles chart in the U.S. of A.
Wow.
From March of 1965 through April of 1965 and reached the number two position on the soul chart.
That's great.
Yes. Cashbox described it, John.
Oh, yeah?
As a rousing, shuffling pop blues romance.
Did it win any awards? Or
I believe it was very well touted as far as more hits by the Supremes. They had that album, of course, in 1966. Grammy Award for the Best Contemporary Rock and Roll Vocal Performance, losing...
Oh,
get this, okay. Losing to Flowers on the Wall by the Statler Brothers. How's that for different?
Yeah, I must say, like, if someone were to ask me, what do you think the opposite of the Supremes are?
Uh-huh.
Or is? What do you think the opposite of the Supremes is?
Probably.
I'd say the Statler Brothers. Yeah. Oh, wow. Shall we play the song?
Let us.
Okay, so this is the Supremes with Stop in the Name of Love.
And there you have it, the great Supreme hit, Stop, In the Name of Love, you fink.
Yeah, what are you thinking, buddy?
What are we going to now? How about we pick up on a great song, John, that was done by...
Little Stevie Wonder, right? But yeah, the song you're talking about, right? Fingertips?
Fingertips.
Yes, parts one and two.
Right.
Written and composed by Wonder's mentors, right?
Right.
Clarence Paul. And Henry Cosby.
Right, you are.
And apparently Fingertips was originally a jazz instrumental.
Yes.
Recorded for Wonder's first studio album, The Jazz Soul of Little Stevie.
This is when he was still known as Little Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, Little Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first part of the recording, or Fingertips Part 1, is essentially what, an instrumental piece?
I guess you could call it that, yeah.
And then there's part two. And part two has more like call and response sort of vocals.
Yeah.
You know, like he'll say like, everybody say yeah.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So shall we play Stevie Wonder song?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Stevie Wonder front and center. Everybody say yeah. Yeah. Say yeah.
You know what? I'm going to call him just to say, I love you.
That's a good idea.
Oh, golly. Okay, so let's move on to
a group called Junior Walker and the All-Stars.
Mm, okay, what song is that?
And Junior Walker and the All-Stars, kind of a cute thing. Mm-hmm. They were a dance group originally, and they basically played a lot of instrumentals. Mm-hmm. Well, when it came time to do a vocal at the recording session.
Yeah, a dance tune that had a vocal.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had a vocalist, of course, in the group, and they were ready to record it, and he didn't show up. Yeah.
So what did they do?
He did not show up. So Junior Walker sat in, so to speak, stood in, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, okay.
For the vocalist, and the producer of the record.
Uh-huh. Was that Berry Gordy?
Where Berry Gordy liked the version that Junior did so well, he says, "Now we'll just keep this one. So what if the guy doesn't show up?"
Oh, man, that's a surefire way to lose a job.
Yeah, it was. And it was really great because Junior Walker and the All-Stars and Shotgun became a big hit.
Yeah, I think it was it reached number 4?
Something like that.
On the Billboard Hot 100?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's pretty impressive, you know, for just singing, especially just singing like, what, hey, Junior, could you sing this? You know?
Yeah. In fact, John, in 2002, the 1964 recording of the song by Junior Walker and the All-Stars.
Wow.
Was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame.
What an honor.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, again, with it being a surprise probably to Junior Walker. Yeah, you know?
Big surprise.
You know, hey, we're just going to keep your vocals.
Yeah.
You know, what? Huh? Shall we play it?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is Junior Walker and the All-Stars with Shotgun. That was Junior Walker and the All-Stars with Shotgun. And just in case anyone is confused about what song they're listening to, right? Mm-hmm. Or what the name of that song is, doesn't it begin with a shotgun blast?
Right.
You know?
Kablam! Kablam!
Okay, so now we're moving on to Mary Wells.
Let's do that.
Right? Mary Wells, the queen of Motown. Now, Dad, during the recording session for this song.
My guy.
Right? They had very little time left. I do believe you had been telling me, right? They had very little time left.
Like a half an hour.
Yeah, just to record the intro of the song. Like they needed an intro for the song. And what? They utilized like the opening measure of another song called Canadian Sunset.
Once I was alone.
And so if they use the intro for Canadian Sunset, then they also had to figure out some notes that would go over it. They pilfered from Begin the Begin.
the left-hand notes.
Yeah.
You know, basically, like, probably on the piano.
Right.
You know, like, or accompanying notes, right?
Yes.
From the composers, of Canadian Sunset's composers, like Eddie Haywood's rendition.
Right.
Of Begin the Begin. And what I think they were quoted as saying, right? The musicians, I think it was the music, like the trombonist and the piano player.
Yeah.
Like they were quoted as saying, we figured the song would wind up in the trash can anyway, right? We knew that the producers didn't know nothing.
Right.
About no Canadian Sunset or Begin the Begin.
Right.
We figured the song would wind up in the trash can anyway.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Shall we play the song?
Let's do it.
Okay, so this is My Guy by Mary Wells.
Ah, it's a great song, My Guy,
mm-hmm.
by Mary Wells.
Yes.
The queen of Motown.
Of Motown.
Yes.
You know, that totally makes sense, listening to that song, you know. Okay, so now we're moving on to the impressions.
That's a good move to make. The impressions were just a super, shall we say, trio of guys. It started out with, I believe, they had five at one time, but that's when they were called the Roosters.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Cock-a-doodle-doo.
They were called the Roosters, and they moved, I believe, to Chicago.
Yeah. Didn't they begin in Chattanooga?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and moved to Chicago and added Jerry Butler. You remember Jerry Butler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do believe I do.
Yeah, big artist.
Yep.
Then became a trio.
Oh.
And had great success, just the three of them.
Yeah. Yeah, especially with It's All Right.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the song we're going to be talking about, It's All Right. And so this song, wasn't it written by Curtis Mayfield?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I first heard it by Huey Lewis in the News. Like they'd had just a cappella version of it.
Oh,
have you heard that?
Okay.
You know, it's just them. They begin with snapping, you know, say, It's All Right.
They say it's all right.
Bum, 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 bum.
Say it's all right, have a good time, 'cause it's all right, whoa, it's all right. Now we gonna move it slow, up in the lights low, up in your move it slow, it feels like a moan, 'cause it's all right, whoa, it's all right. And now listen to the beat.
They had, just oodles of hits.
Sure. Sure. And that too, you know, it's just like they were so successful.
Right.
So successful. I do believe it just would not be fair, right, to not include them on this list.
Right.
But you did. And you know what I think about that?
What?
It's all right. Like that setup. Okay. So shall we play the song?
Let's play the song, The Impressions, and It's All Right.
When you wake up so many of us do, I'm a learner, so make life your goal, and surely something's gotta come to you,
and say it's alright, say it's alright,
it's alright, have a good time, 'cause it's alright, whoa.
And so Marvin Gaye is next.
Marvin Gaye.
Yes, the prince of Motown.
Wow. We got a lot of royalty going here.
Absolutely. You know? And so his version of I Heard It Through the Grapevine is what we're going to be talking about now.
Okay.
But his version wasn't the first version. No.
That's right. It wasn't.
No. You were telling me the Miracles did it first.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they had a tremendous recording of it, but it got shelved.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess things happen, right?
Yeah.
You know? And so Marvin Gaye had his version,
right?
I think in 1968, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then disc jockeys really started paying attention to it, you know? Yeah, totally makes sense.
Right.
You know, I don't know how anyone could ignore that, you know? And then it was released, I think, on a Tamla subsidiary, if you remember, Dad, right? Motown started as Tamla Records, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I did not hear that song originally by Marvin Gaye. The first time I heard that song, I heard it by CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh.
You know, because they had a version of it. I think they did a great job with that song.
Oh, they did.
You know, I think it's really just Marvin Gaye and them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to listen to that song,
yep.
It's Marvin Gaye and them. So how about we listen to that song now?
Let's listen to Marvin Gaye and the big hit, I Heard It Through the Grapevine.
That was awesome. Okay, so the next song we're supposed to be talking about, right, Dad? Now, it was between three. We were talking about three different songs.
Right.
And then, so it came down to Tracks of My Tears and I Second That Emotion by The Miracles, right?
Both big hits.
Yes, yes. And you chose the Tracks of My Tears, right?
Yes.
So that's what we're going to be talking about.
The guitar player in The Miracles.
Mm-hmm. Marv Tarplin?
Yes, I believe that was his name. His guitar licks.
Mm-hmm.
At the song's intro,
yeah,
are among the most famous in pop music history.
Isn't that amazing, you know, that Motown could have that effect?
Yes. They had wonderful production skills.
Yes. Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you for picking Tracks of My Tears, Dad.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when I think of The Miracles, you know, and just that word miracle, right? Miraculous. You know,
right.
There's just something so miraculous, so momentous and epic, right? About that song, right?
Right.
But just take a good look at my face, right?
Right.
You see my smile looks out of place. I'll stop there. How about we just play the song? Shall we play the song?
I think it would be a good idea to lay Tracks of My Tears on our listening public.
People say I'm the life of the party 'cause I tell a joke or two.
The next song on the list, Dad, is supposed to be Heat Wave by Martha and the Vandellas.
Well, let's make it the next one then.
Okay. So, yeah, this song, right, released in 1963, mm-hmm. I do believe, right? July?
Right, July.
Oh, it must have been hot then.
Yeah.
Right? Woo! Really is supposed to exemplify the Motown sound.
Right, and it was from our favorite, well, one of our favorite groups, I should say, yeah. of songwriters.
Yeah.
Holland, Dozier, and Holland.
Yeah, the first names I thought of as you were saying that, like songwriting, whatever team or group or something like that, uh-huh. was Kaz and its Cats. You know, it's like, wait, that's bubblegum.
That's bubblegum.
We're talking about Motown here, right?
Yep.
Yep. And so that group, yeah, put this song together for Martha and the Vandellas, right? Because they had already had a collaboration, didn't they? Like, Come and Get These Memories. Now, would you say they had some success with this song?
Oh, some success, John. Mm-hmm. It was released as a 45 single mm-hmm. in July of 63 mm-hmm. on the Motown subsidiary Gordy label for oh. Barry Gordy.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. And hit number one on the Billboard Hot R&B charts, where it stayed for 4 weeks.
That's amazing.
And peaked at number four on the Billboard Hot 100.
Hmm. Yeah, doesn't it have the distinction, too, of being the first Motown song to be nominated for a Grammy?
I believe you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And Linda Ronstadt even did a cover version of it.
Yeah, and didn't Phil Collins, too?
Yep, he was great at pilfering into the female Motown catalog.
Mm-hmm. That pilfer. That pilfer. All right, shall we play the song?
Yes, I think we should.
Okay, so this is Heat Wave by Martha and the Vandellas.
I got another good group for you, too.
Oh, okay.
Just popped into my head.
Okay.
The Marvelettes.
Ooh, nice.
You talk about a group that mm-hmm. had a sound.
Yeah, definitely.
They went through some changes as far as personnel was concerned.
Well, yeah. Didn't they have one lead singer and then they had another lead singer?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they finally settled on Gladys Horton.
Yeah.
Was her name.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah. And the song we're talking about is Please, Mr. Postman.
Right.
Yeah. That's the song we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
And get this, John.
Okay.
Marvin Gaye
mm-hmm.
played drums on that one.
Oh, good for him.
Yes.
Good for him.
They put him to work as a studio musician.
Well, yeah. Like, I think some of his, is it like one of his albums wasn't doing really well or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
I do know that it's kind of like his debut, right? His debut album.
Right.
I think you'd been telling me, you know, just wasn't mm-hmm. as, I don't know, as hot as it could have been or something like that. So he's playing drums on this?
He's playing drums on Please, wow. Mr. Postman.
Oh, wow. That's nice. That's nice. Shall we play the song?
Okay.
Okay, so this is Please, Mr. Postman by the Marvelettes. Okay, so the next song on the list is called My Girl, and it's by...
The Temptations.
By The Temptations, yes.
What a big, tremendous hit.
Yes, that song resonates.
Yes.
You know, it just, you know, through the years, right? Just the opening of that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bow, 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 bow. You know what song it is.
Yes.
You know?
Instantly.
Yes, instantly. And you sing along, you know, with David Ruffin.
Yeah.
Right? And he was a replacement in the Temptations. I do believe he had replaced another, you know, member of the group. And Smokey Robinson heard them perform. And he had said, you know what? I'm going to write a song for that guy. Right? I'm going to produce a single, you know, for him to sing.
Because he's got a neat voice.
Yes. Very neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smokey Robinson had said mellow yet gruff.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And I do believe that's totally true. In fact, Dad, shall we allow Smokey Robinson a moment to talk about the Temptations?
If you like.
Oh, well, it's your show.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Okay. So here's Smokey Robinson.
My girl was inspired by the fact that the Temptations, all of them could really sing, and they were just, I mean, their harmonies and their vocal presentation was powerful, you know. I tell people all the time, I could have brought the original group of them, well, not the original group, but when David Ruffin came in the group, I could have brought David and Eddie and Paul and Melvin and Otis into this room right here and say, hey, man, sing Ooh. And they said, ooh, and it would have shook this room, because that's how they were. With Melvin way down on the bottom, Eddie way up on top, they could just sing.
Gosh, God bless Smokey Robinson, right, for coming up with that song, you know, and then giving it to David Ruffin to sing, you know, and right. Everything that just came together. Again, it's one of those songs, they just knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, they really knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
And they did it well.
Right.
Okay, so here is My Girl by The Temptations. So that was My Girl by The Temptations, right?
And a great, great song.
Yes.
Yes.
And you know, Dad, I think that is the band that people think of when they think of Motown.
Oh, I agree.
Don't you think?
I agree wholeheartedly. They are one of the signature, if we can use that term, Motown groups.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's the last song, Dad.
The last song.
Mm-hmm.
Reach Out and I'll Be There.
Yes, by the Four Tops.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Another signature group with a signature song.
And how?
Mm-hmm. Right. Do you know when it was released?
1966.
Okay, yeah, 1966. Oh, and it's also by who? Like, who's the writing team and production team?
Not our good friend, Holland Dozier Holland.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. Yep, and Levi Stubbs is singing it, and I do believe they purposefully, right, had him, right, sing this tune at the top of his range, right? So he had a cry to it, a hunger.
Oh, that's why they did it like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and that must have been tough for him.
It must have.
You know, to sing some of these lines.
Right.
Or to sound so, I don't know, desperate.
Uh-huh.
Right?
To make sure that he sounded like that. You're right.
Yes. Between, it's been described like he's in between singing and shouting.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like he was on another one of their hits, Can't Help Myself.
Yeah.
Right? Or Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the band, right?
Right.
We've been talking about this. The band actually begged for this song not to be released.
Not to be released?
Yes. Yes. They had begged, like, please, please don't release this song, you know, because they had said it just seemed odd. Yeah. And it was big.
Yeah.
It became their signature song.
Right.
Didn't it? Okay. Shall we play it?
Let's play it.
Okay. So this is Reach Out, I'll Be There by the Four Tops.
Shelter you.
And there you have it, gang. Reach out. I'll be there by the Four Tops. Great song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dramatic, semi-operatic, right?
Yes, combination singing. Between singing and shouting.
And shouting. Okie dokie. So if you have enjoyed this episode of this podcast, you can go to your favorite podcast platform or favorite podcast provider and search for Davey B's Hit Song Vault, and you can listen to more episodes of this show that way. Oh, it's time to go, Dad.
Okay, John.
It's time to go. And remember, listeners, you know, if you need us, just reach out and we'll be there.
Literally.
Yes, literally. And thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye. Well, it's a cheater who pays.